Grace you and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Our text is from our gospel lesson today from Matthew chapter 16. From that time, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and on the third day be raised. This is our text. My dear friends in Jesus Christ, our living Lord and Savior, we don't like getting bad news. We try to avoid it at all costs. But since we aren't in heaven, there is no way to avoid getting bad news. So the big question is, how well do you deal with getting bad news? You know, if we know it's coming, a lot of times we can deal with it just a little bit better. For example, if I get in my car and it starts making a funny noise, and that noise gets a little bit louder and louder, I can start processing in my head that I've got to take my car to a mechanic and get it fixed, and it's going to cost me a few dollars to do so. And you can deal with that. But if you're driving down the freeway and you're suddenly in a terrible accident, and you've got to wait for the insurance company, and you got to do this and do that, you got to start looking at getting a new set of wheels, then sometimes that situation is just a little bit harder to take. Well, I can pretty much guarantee that Peter was never in a car accident. Might have been a couple incidents on his boat since he was a professional fisherman, but I don't think he was in a car accident. And because he lived on this great big planet that we call Earth, I'm sure that there was a time or two when he received bad news. There was that one time when his mother-in-law became drastically sick. Fortunately, Jesus was there to heal her so that bad news didn't turn into deadly bad news. And then there's the bad news that Peter receives in our text for today. And you know, I really don't think it's a coincidence that this bad news comes immediately after Peter's great confession. I mean, just prior to this text, Jesus had asked the disciples, "Who do the people say that I am?" Some said Elijah, some said John the Baptist, others said that he was a great prophet. And then Jesus asked the question that he really, really wanted to get to when he asks, "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter, without hesitation, just blurts out, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So yeah, Peter knew. Peter had seen Jesus perform those mighty miracles, changing water into wine, healing his mother-in-law, feeding the 5,000, walking on water. He had seen it all. And those miracles showed that Jesus was the Messiah. But it's right after that Peter makes this great confession that he knows exactly who Jesus is, that Jesus began to show the disciples that he has to go to Jerusalem, and he's going to suffer a whole lot, and the elders and the chief priests and the scribes are going to take him over, and yes, he is going to be killed and raised on the third day. From Peter's point of view, that was terrible news. Probably the worst news ever. So much so that he takes Jesus aside and he rebukes him. Okay, he just doesn't take Jesus aside and tell him, "You know, you really need to think this stuff over." It's not like he just takes Jesus aside and questions him about, "Do you know what you're really doing here?" No, he rebukes Jesus. And he says, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall never happen to you." To be sure, Peter wasn't the only one that's shocked by this news. I'm sure all the other disciples were puzzled as well. Because just like Peter, they had seen the miracles, they had heard his teachings, but they had no clue what Jesus' mission and ministry was really about. They really didn't understand that Jesus had come here to keep the Ten Commandments perfectly in our place. And they had no clue that Jesus had to suffer the very pangs of hell so that we could have eternal life. And so here in Matthew 16, Jesus is telling the disciples very clearly, for the very first time, about his real mission, about the real reason why he came, the fact that he came to die. And it's right after this text, 6 days later, that Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up on that mountain of transfiguration, and they will get to see Jesus in all of his glory, talking with Moses and Elijah about his death on the cross. But even after that experience, the news still doesn't sink in. They know all about Jesus' identity. They know that he's the Son of God, that he is the Christ. But the whole idea of his life, death, and resurrection, about his real mission to save us from our sins, it's a real blur that the disciples just don't understand. And so what we see here on out in the rest of the book of Matthew is that Jesus continually pounds home this message time and time again, that the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, that they will kill him, that he'll be raised on the third day. And yet after hearing those words, Matthew 17 tells us that they were still greatly distressed. And the death of God's Son, well, that is distressing. I mean, God's Son, who has been with the Father from all eternity, he shouldn't have to die. But there's a problem of our sin. God expects perfection, and we have not been perfect. I mean, since Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, sin has reigned in the world, and the only way to correct that problem was for Jesus to live that perfect life in our place and for Jesus to die in our place on the cross. Jesus died so that we didn't have to do. And so, yeah, while it was very bad news that Peter was hearing because he didn't know the whole plan, while it's very distressing that God's one and only Son would ever die, this really is, rather than being bad news, this is the greatest news ever. Jesus will spend 3 hours on the cross suffering for our sins, experiencing total abandonment from his Father. But 3 days later, he rose victorious. Jesus has defeated sin, death, and the devil. And that victory is now ours. Because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we too will rise, and we too will enjoy eternal life with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No, we don't like to hear bad news. I don't want to hear that my car needs $1,000 worth of work. I don't want to hear from my doctor that I've got cancer. I got a phone call last night. Somebody told me that their relationship is breaking up. Those are all examples of bad news. But the news that Jesus is going to be handed over to the religious leaders, that he's going to be tried and crucified, that, my dear friends, is good news. It is the foundation of the gospel that God loves us and that he sacrificed his Son on the cross for us so that we can rise from the dead and enjoy eternity in heaven. Peter sees this news from Jesus as bad news because Pentecost hasn't come yet. And so he just doesn't understand. To be sure, he got to watch Jesus perform all those miracles. He got to hear Jesus' sermons with his own two ears. But he never had the chance to open up a Bible like we do. And until Pentecost, he doesn't have the experience of the Holy Spirit working the way we do every time we open up the Bible, every time we receive one of the sacraments. And so if I was in Peter's shoes, I probably would have reacted the very same way. What we do see in our text is Jesus' care and concern not only for his disciples, but for all people. Jesus knew that he had to die. He knew that that was the game plan, and he was willing to go along with it. And because of his great love, Jesus bled and died on the cross for us all, and then rose again from the dead. My dear friends, no matter what bad news you get this week, and you probably will get some bad news, keep in mind the good news of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. Because those actions, more than anything else, show us the great love that God has for us all. And because of God's love, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, we have eternal life. And that makes any bad news we receive so much more bearable to endure. In Jesus' name, amen.